This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dustin Nichols, back with you for another show. Been on a little hiatus there, had some rescheduling issues here last couple weeks, and just been busy as all get out, you know, just that time of year, moving into the spring, you know, warm-ups, water temps rebounding, we got fish moving around like crazy and everything. So you know, I've just been excited to get back on the water and not have to wear, you know, like bibs and everything. So it's great to get back out there and just some cross kicks and some boardies and some fishing shirts instead of having a jacket and all that good stuff. But yeah, it's been a pretty cool past few weeks, actually pretty cool start to the year. Some good stuff going on here and there. Stoked to come on board with Real Sportswear. Boom, 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 boom. Just picked them up this past weekend at the Houston Fishing Show. Man, Andrew and the crew over there got some great gear coming out for the spring. I'm excited to be part of their team, man. I just want to put that out there. I'm stoked to be working with them this year and partner up with Real Sportswear. So good to go, you know. Can't do it without support, though, you know. So appreciate it. But yeah. Further ado, we're gonna bring a repeat offender on tonight. We have G1 Fishing. We got Gerald in the house.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah. Back on the show. Round two. Gave you a little time to adjust new location there where you're at. Wanted to get you back on, and we're gonna kind of dive into, you know, your transition and your move down there.
Yes, sir.
To coastal Gulf Coast of Florida from South Carolina. So yeah, if you know, go ahead and reintroduce yourself to everybody. Okay. And then talk a little bit about you know, what you were doing and what was going on up there in South Carolina, and then you moved down to Florida and kind of refresh everybody.
Yes, sir. Well, Dustin, thanks again for having me here.
Oh, yeah.
Such an honor to have, second time, repeat offender, you call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a privilege. But, so my name is Gerald, originally from South Carolina, on the East Coast, Atlantic Coast. But, decided to move the family here to Tampa Bay, Florida, on the West Coast of Florida, which is, it was like a night and day difference. It's part of, type of fishery, the style. I'm excited to still learn the area. I've been looking forward to it since, day one. We had an idea to move down here. And, it's definitely a challenge. It's like starting from scratch.
Yeah, for sure.
And
in a family, transitioning a family down there. Kids in school and, come and adapt to that. That's definitely got to be a.
Yeah, that's actually hard time. Yeah, the one of the main reason why we decided to move down here because our daughter, we only have one kid and. She got accepted in USF Tampa, University of South Florida. Yep. And we only have one kid, and my wife and I is always, here, wanted to support her as much as we can. And why not? We said we decide. She's not living here at home. She's in campus, but at least we're somewhere within driving distance.
Instead of being 7 hours, 8 hours away, closer for that family support, it's always a plus.
Peace of mind for us too. If you ever worried about her, you can always just, drive up to her. She can come home anytime she want. We're specifically in the Sun City area, Apollo Beach. That's on the along the Interstate 75 on that side of the Tampa Bay. So on the other side of St. Petersburg, if some people might not know where that is.
But
it's a good location. We're kind of central. If I can head down 75 south, head south and Anna Marie Island, Bradenton, along the Gulf, in the Gulf, it's right there. Sarasota is not far of a drive from here either. So, yeah, my wife and I go out there, and we still like to explore. We're foodies.
There's a lot of great restaurants over there sure.
Yeah, that's a lot of love about this area. Or we can cross over the Skyway Bridge, and we're over there in St. Petersburg. Everybody knows about St. Petersburg. A happening place. It's always, something to do
the
there.
The Skyway Bridge too. A lot of people, if you're familiar with the Goliath Grouper, you see some videos fishing off that platform there, just throwing whole Jack Revelle or Stingrays and just getting.
Oh my God!
Big Goliath Grouper to come up and just smoke. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's definitely a. But I only enjoy the view. Every time I go over that bridge, always in awe looking left and right, the view is awesome. I haven't got myself to fishing that bridge yet though, those two bridge.
Yeah.
I don't know, us kayak fishermen, we need our space,
Right.
Yeah. Fishing, I don't know, that close to other people sometimes,
tough like that. Yeah, I like to get away from the crowds, and with a kayak, that affords us to do that. So what's been like the differences in the fisheries? The first thing that come to mind to me as growing up on the, Atlantic seaboard myself in Southeast Georgia is the tidal differences.
Oh, man.
There's not near as much tidal swings on the Gulf Coast as there is on the Atlantic seaboard there.
Man, it's like a night and day difference. I used to complain about, the super strong current in Myrtle Beach, in South Carolina. But man, coming here is like a total opposite. You have one tide a day.
Yeah.
It's like, it seems like forever for that water to move. Like, you don't even feel it move, you know? It's just a different
that's when you depend on like wind-driven currents sometimes around points and islands to kind of help, you know, push those bait fish into the ambush points for the fish to stack up on. And it just comes from learning the differences, you know, and how the fish set up in different tidal situations, you know, because it can, I can imagine that's a pretty weird transition. Just like, I know we got some guys here that have never fished the East Coast going to fish some events in Florida, Jacksonville area. And I was like, well, y'all have to deal with all them tides over there. And they're like, how much? I was like, Pfft. I was like, just why? You can be high and dry and pretty in like 2 hours in the creek, you know, and then they'll come back in though, you know, because you get four tides a day over there on the normal swings, you know. But you
know, my God.
5 foot tide difference, you know, 5-6 foot from low to high tide. And it,
yeah,
leave a lot of them little creek arms and little finger creeks dry, you know. It's pretty crazy.
So where I'm from, South Carolina, you know, we're pretty much share the same tide and pattern as Jacksonville, Florida, you know, and Georgia, all of it through Georgia. So the tide swing is just crazy, you know. Moving across here, it's like, man, I just can't believe, like, is this water moving at all? Like, you know, when you have, they call it negative tide, I said, all right, maybe the water will move today, but still, you know, you don't really feel the water moving at all.
We'll get some good tide swings over here, you know, only a foot or two. I mean, it does move, and then, you know, you get the big fronts come through and push the water out the bays.
Right.
So when a big northwest wind comes behind the cold fronts and stuff. And, but, yeah, it's definitely a lot different towards the South Carolina, you know, all that. There's a lot more coastal marsh, a lot more marshlands and grasslands. So the water's a little dirtier and the mud's a little deeper. You know, there's not a whole lot of places where you can get out and wade fish and, like, fish on, like, sand bottom and stuff, like, on the Gulf Coast, the water, the clarity is a lot better, you know, which in turn sometimes makes the fishing kind of cool, but then they can be finicky.
Right. Oh, yeah. Tell me about finicky. Yeah. It's just, it's been my struggle since I moved here. But yeah, you know, speaking of tide moving, don't get me wrong, the tide still move here. I guess it's just not as, you know, obvious as, you know,
right.
You know, where we were in South Carolina. You know, if you fish that day and they, you know, it's going to be a low tide, it feels like it's low tide all day.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're just going to have to adjust. Like, okay, today I'm going to go try to hit an area where I know it's still going to hold water. And if it's high tide, it's pretty much just, you're going to have to almost scratch catching redfish that day, you know, and just, that's when I just hit the mangroves and trying to target some snook, which I'm sure we'll talk about more
push
later.
Everything up into the, you push everything up into the mangroves, you know.
Yeah.
That higher tide, all your bait, pushing in there, seeking cover, you know.
Yes, sir,
same
yeah.
thing, like bass, almost.
Yeah, but as far as
structure.
Speaking of structure, so the way, I mean, I'm still learning, you know. I just moved here July last summer, so I'm still, you know, I'm still pretty fresh here and still, you know, going out there, hitting different spots I can and trying to learn the pattern. But as far as a structure, what I've noticed, so our structure in the East Coast, for me, is pretty much grass line, you know. I've good luck in South Carolina as far as just hitting points and grass lines, you know, drop off, but really close to the edge.
Yeah.
So I'm still struggling to adapt to the difference here. So I'm still trying to fish the way I used to fish there in South Carolina, which is it's different. You can't really hit all the edges.
Oyster. oyster bars over there, a lot of oyster shell and reefs, oyster reefs that you could fish to drop offs and around.
Exactly. Yeah. Here it's not much. Here is mostly just open flats. You can imagine open flats. I mean, they do have mangroves islands, and that's how I started fishing. Just kind of hit the edges, go, you know, just kind of blind cast all around it. But it's so big, it's almost impossible to like find a fish that way, you know?
Yeah, you got to really, sometimes that's the days with those big flats that you wish you had, you got a little bit of wind to help push you. And that's the way we fish them here in Texas. A lot of the flats here is I'll get on a line of potholes, like sand opening, sand pockets all in that grass flat, and I'll just drift over all of those.
Yeah.
And kind of find where the fish are holding towards those openings. It's more like the ambush points, you know?
So that's what I wasn't used to. In South Carolina, we didn't have, you know, grass bottom. It's mostly just mud or oysters. Mm-hmm. So, I wasn't used to looking for those potholes. So here, I just learned, and a couple of my local buddies here, that's why they keep telling me, like, gee, man, you got to go drift, you know, drift along. Water,
drift up potholes, look for those grass edges. Yep.
Exactly, yeah. So I didn't know. I still can't get my head wrapped around, like, I can't really cast into the middle of the flat thinking, man, this flat there, there's no structure. I got to cast close to the mangrove, you know. That's but recently, one of my buddies here, like, trust me, man, just said, he said, the way we fish here, we don't really fish no closer than 30, 20 yards into the mangroves. Mm-hmm. We're more into the middle.
Yeah.
I said, well, what's the structure? He said, just look for,
sand pockets.
Yeah. Sand pockets, yeah. Like, it'll be a grass, you know, grass flat, and all of a sudden, you'll see, like, a bald spot in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, so sure enough, I tried one day. It's like, all right, I'm going to force myself. I'm going to just stand up in the kayak and just drift.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I saw a couple times, I saw a big, like, 30-inch redfish just sitting right there. Like,
yep,
but,
waiting on stuff to come on out so he can smash it.
But I was like, dude, how would they just sit there? But, you know, but by the time I see them, I'm like, my kayak's, like, drifting right over them. And, you know, with the clear water, and I can't even lift up my rod without spooking them.
Corpus can get like that too when it's super clear certain times of the year. You know, just long cast and just using the great polarized glasses that they have out now, you get a good pair and just scan for those bright patches in the sand, and that's where I'm throwing.
Covering
the water.
Yeah. But I think the key here, I mean, I'm not saying you have to only side cast here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's very helpful if you can get up higher and, you know, see the fish. That's, you know, enough for you to kind of plan where you want to place your lure in front of them. But if I fish an area enough and I know where the sand pockets are, then I know I can just, you know, blind cast there and cover the area.
Because as the summer, as the warmer months progress, some of those bare spots will have grass grow into them, and they'll become smaller, like it does that in Corpus too. That grass will grow and kind of fill in spots too, because it does back off as the water cools down. Right now, I went out a couple weeks back and started fishing the flats again. Made a couple trips down to Corpus and did pretty dang good. Found some real good redfish on some edges of some spoil banks with bare spots in it.
Okay.
And then the trout were starting, because, you know, we're just coming up on full moon, so some of the trout were starting their, you know, the water's 70 degrees, so they're approaching, they're going to start spawning, you know, so there were some big females around. I caught a couple, I think I had three over 25 inches that one day.
Dude, yeah, speaking of trout, I was looking at the race of 20. Man, you're killing it. You're up there.
I got in later, but then I caught some good. I had a couple really good days where I, you know, had quite a few fish over, but I just haven't went to target like the redfish over 30. I got lucky and pulled one out of a school the other day, and then I had another one both kayak side that I pulled off. I shook off my wake bait. I should have had two, but I got a spot I can go to. I just haven't. It's about 2.5 hours from the house. I needed it to be like lighter winds at night, and I'm gonna go fish some lights, and I'm gonna go, and I can go put up like five or six of them in one night if I go do it.
Oh man!
But I'm hoping to catch a couple over there when I'm in Tampa. Who knows? I'm gonna fish way back. We're gonna fish around St. Mark's a little bit, and we're gonna fish some other areas of the coast there. But you know, we're gonna fish for bass. We're actually supposed to be enjoying some of those spring-fed rivers up there south of Tallahassee as we get closer up that way. After we're in Tampa, I'll be over that way here in a couple of weeks. We'll get on that in a minute. But like we were talking about, you know, water clarity and, you know, the adjustments that you had to make to be consistent in that new fishery there versus South Carolina. You know, did you have to downsize any lures or did you just have to match more of a natural color stuff? Nothing bright. If you've noticed anything like on that along those lines?
So that's funny you mentioned that. So I did have to downsize. So I used to throw a lot of four and a half inch Z-Man paddle tails. Mm-hmm. I had to downsize to 3 inch and a really more natural color.
Yeah.
So yeah, in South Carolina, we threw a lot of chartreuse tails. Yep. And here, man, I think it spooks the fish, you know, see something like that.
You'd be surprised, though. I mean, because in Corpus, I don't know what it is, but a morning glory with chartreuse tail on the flats absolutely kills them.
Oh,
and that water's, and I can see the bottom. I can see all the way to the bottom, 3 foot, 4 foot of water, you know.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, which is kind of opposite of what I would think.
Yeah.
You know, but I throw a lot of natural kind of stuff, too, kind of like a the Z-Man color. That would be like Houdini or like Redbone. Yeah. Those colors would probably be pretty good down there on the flats. And then the Slam Shady. Is that?
Well, Well, we're Tampa Bay, man. Almost everybody here.
Those are white, you know, paddle tip.
You know, that's the Slam Shady. This is like the Slam Sleet. What do you call it? The Salt Strong people.
Salt Strong.
Yeah. That's all this around here, Slam Shade. That's all you hear here. As far as color, my favorite color here right now is opening night.
Yes, that kind of bluish silver with the silver clear and silver flake.
That's a good color
in clear water.
On the clear water,
I'm bringing a bunch of the bone diamond. It's like the bone, and then it's got the clear with the silver glitter on the bottom.
Yeah, that's your
bring some of that. And then I got some called Shad Spawn. It's a pearlescent white. It has black flake, and then it has iridescent, like disco flake in it, too.
Okay.
That one's all white. I'm going to throw that one a little bit over there and see what we can do. I'm definitely excited. I mean, I like to throw all kind of crazy stuff, but, you know, probably be throwing a small top water, small little, like, trick darter, little twitch baits, and then maybe little jerk baits. I have some jerk baits that I've shaped, you know. The bills are shaved down on where they only run like a foot and a half deep, and I think those will work really well too, along with like double D's or something, you know.
Yeah,
something
definitely.
Like swim down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like in general, like I would try to stick to more natural color as far as soft plastics.
Yeah.
And even the top water, and I used to like to throw big profile, but here I had to go down to Spook Junior.
Spook Juniors,
And even the rattle, like the softer it is, I think it's it's better for this area. I haven't been getting on a top water bite until I decided to, you know, pick up another a Spook Junior, and that's when smaller profile, but.
So that Boyo, that's even smaller than the
that's what I are. Heard.
Those are killer in Lacombe wind conditions. They look real good, and they're a lot more subtle than the Spook Junior.
They got some killer
colors in that one too.
Yeah, I was looking definitely into that. I didn't really hear about that till lately, but I'm gonna have to pick up
a little smaller one. Them things are pretty killer. Yeah. But looking you know, down that way. You know, with all the mangroves and stuff, you gotta think about snook, right?
Dude, like, for some people that haven't seen the first episode, like, you know, my first episode with you, making plan, you know, that time that I was thinking of move down here, and the only thing I can think of is snook, because you know, we don't have snook in South Carolina. And like, man, I was telling you, like, man, I can't wait till I'm, you know, as soon as I move to Tampa, that's the first thing I'm gonna try to target. And I guess I just got so obsessed with it, like the first couple months I moved here, that's all I wanted to target. And one thing I used to watch, people here in their videos are skipping under mangroves.
Yeah.
I said, man, that's so cool, you know? And, but I never knew how to skip. I mean, I'm never, you know, I never bass fished before. And then fishing in South Carolina, we're usually just long casting, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I had to, you know, learn that here, you know, kind of skip the lure right under the mangroves. But yeah, it's, man, the first time I had a snook blew up on my on a paddle tail under that. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I was like, wow, what is that? It's like, it's so loud.
Like, yeah, big old, like, sound like a bass hitting too. I mean, yeah, they got that big old mouth. It just,
man. Now every time, like, I could be fishing, and you can hear it, just a certain pops. It might sound
there's
like
a snook,
like,
in there. Yeah,
you know.
Because you know, when a redfish is in the marsh, it sounds like a toilet bowl flushing when it eats something.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
There's some reds back there. Let's go ahead and push on back a little further. They're there.
Yeah. I'm there just hitting mangroves, and I can hear a snook eating in a corner of my ear. And I'm like, oh, okay, let me go beeline over there. Yeah.
I would definitely be trying to catch me a PB snook. Biggest snook I've caught is like 25 inches.
Oh, that's a good size. Yeah. I mean, that's nothing to you know, be ashamed of. I think anything up 20 inches, man, the initial fight, like, I'm telling people that haven't caught snook yet, I mean,
you gotta turn them quick, or they're gonna get you in the mangroves and break you off.
Oh, for sure. Dude, I don't know if you saw my last post. So Saturday I went out, man. I lost 3 good snook and like back to back.
Yeah,
within like a couple hours. I never lost so many snook in one day. But I guess it's just time of the year, they just fired up.
Yeah,
it could be part of my fault too, because I was only using 20 pound leader.
Yeah, you might have to go up to 30.
Dude, I went to the store yesterday, I got me a 40. So
40, oh,
oh yeah,
dang.
Yeah.
So, and is there like canals over there where you can like fish lights at night and like can look in some of those canals in the neighborhoods that access? I know I've looked at some stuff around where we're coming in. I'm going over that way in a couple weeks. I'll be there the 16th. We have a fun tour with Jackson Kayak at a couple dealers there, the Kayak Hub, and then Bill Jackson's. We're gonna have some meet and greets there on Saturday the 18th. I'll post the info on that on the Chasing the Tide page, and y'all get some more info. But yeah, we'll have a Mobley Bayou Park with a Kayak Hub, and then we'll be at actually Bill Jackson's store afterwards that afternoon. I had like 2 or something. I think the first one's at 11, and then the second one's at 2. But yeah, we'll post some more detail. But I'm excited because I've been looking at like where we're staying at, and there's like canals all around there, and it said there's got to be lights on all them docks, and then there's some little back creeks with mangroves and stuff off of those canals. It's like, there's, I said, I don't know. I'm hoping there's snook in there.
I mean, from what I hear, you know, the big snooks are really in the canals. The canals and the passes, you know, that's where I've been hearing. But yeah, to be honest, I haven't really had a chance to go out there at night, you know, where the, because I don't live anywhere close to a residential canal that, I can just,
you're a little further away. You know, it'd be a little drive to get to them.
I guess it's just this one here, Apollo Beach, but I still haven't gotten a chance to check out the. You have to go into the marina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And pay to launch, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so many places here I can launch for free, but maybe one day, you know, I want to venture out there more.
Well, maybe the weekend we're there, that Saturday night, we might have to go explore something.
I have if you want to target some snook, if you haven't, you know, caught a snook yet, or in by the time you get here, There's a spot here in my, it's down the street from me. That's, you know, that's where I pretty much, so now my new job here, I get off by one.
Yeah.
So most of my fishing here is sunset.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Oh man. It's, for me now, it's easier to find a fish on top water.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. They'll, you know, you'll just, as soon as that sun drops, you just throw that top water. It's like calling him out. Like they come out.
They all come out. Well, them, yeah. Those snook, you know, they're, the way their mouth is and the way their eyes are on the top of their head, they're positioned right to eat above them. That's right. How they're set up. They're a top of the water column ambush machine is what they are.
Right.
You look at them, you look at that big mouth, you look at their streamline like a torpedo, and then their eyes are right, big old eyes. So they're looking, they're like, boom, they're just ready to eat something above them, you know.
Oh, so, man.
Yeah, I'm all about some topwater snook. If I can get if I can just get one of them.
Dude, at 20, I'll be happy. I mean, yeah, at 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
Man, on top water, I mean, that's a good fight.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good fight, man. It's, well, another good thing about snook, it's not just low life that will hit anything on top. So when I skip those lures, you know, I'm skipping a Z-Man, like a 1/8 ounce weighted jig head.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still on top. So when you skip it right under that mangrove, they hit it right away, and it's a blow up on in there, and you just wait.
Yep.
Man, you don't see the explosion, but you hear it. You're like, oh, all right, get ready for the fight. Like, start ripping drag. Like, oh man, put the kayak in reverse. Like, oh man,
that'd be fun. I hope I can get to experience some of that,
dude. When you come down here, get your one rod. Just have a white paddle tip. For some reason, I've had, I don't know if it's the color or whatever. So it's a Z-Man Paddler Z.
Mm-hmm.
So the pearl color.
Yep.
So that's, for some reason, they like that, I guess, the white color. And so a worm hook, you know, with like a 1/8 ounce.
Screw lock with the belly weight.
Yeah, you know, something like
one, so it don't get stuck. Yep.
Oh yeah, dude. I've tried throwing like regular open hook.
Yeah.
I've lost so many hooks out there already. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you want to be able to.
There's a couple. The one with the centering pin, the 3 and 4-aught ones. They're a little stouter than some of the other brands. So I use the owner. I have those. Those have been out of stock for a while. I just was able to find some on thehookuptackle.com. That place has got a lot of cool baits. They got a lot of JDM, like the Japanese domestic market stuff that they get for the bass side of things. But then they got a lot of big swim baits and stuff too that I use for the big trout. So yeah, I'm excited to get over there. I know I'm gonna have some have a rod rigged up. I'll have a Waterloo Power Mag with a 3000 series ballistic MQ ready to go.
Oh, dude. It's at least a 3000. I mean, I was out there, I guess I was just bored, you know, a couple of days trying to, luckily I didn't really hook up into a big snook, but I've hooked into like some decent snook on a 1000.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a 2000 and I have a 3000. Then I have some bait caster reels always.
Yeah.
I'll throw a lot of bait casters. So yeah, I'll have some wake baits and stuff to mess around with. Cause I'm excited to see what I can, you know, do over there. You get some reaction strikes on them grass flats. Hopefully, don't give them time to look at them. You rip them pretty fast and, you know, you don't give them time to take a second look. They just hit it out of instinct, you know? So that's a lot of ways I catch my fish.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that. Like, I wasn't that style before, you know, from South Carolina. I used to, like, bounce them, you know, just jig them and then let it sit in the bottom. That's why we catch a lot of flounder, too.
Yeah.
But
now you just burn them.
Yeah. Yep. What I noticed here, it's almost, like I said, I a lot of times I go out there early in the morning and I see tailing reds. And I almost spook them if I bounce it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have better success. Just rip it. Just like rip it across.
Ripping it through them. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, don't give them time to look at it. You know, notice.
They just want to react. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, it's, that's so far. I still gotta adapt to, you know, to the style here and a type of fisher here. But you know, I'm slowly getting into it.
What, being that you're there, you've been there a little while now, but you know, what do you miss about South Carolina?
Dude, I don't know. I miss the grass marsh. I never thought.
I like the marshland. I do too.
I miss the, especially when the water kind of get up over, you know, kind of close to the grass.
The flood tide, and,
not exactly flood tide, but you know,
but
pretty
right
close
before,
to that. Right before that, because I've caught a lot of big trout that way. Just kind of throwing my, you know, my mirror lure right into the grass, and it just rip them out, and they're right on the edge.
Yeah.
So that's why I use a lot of single hooks, inline hooks on my top water mirror lure. Yeah, because I would purposely throw it into the grass, work it out, and they're ready to ambush it right on
right there. Yep, that's how them trout are. They love that. Yeah. And then before South Carolina, you were in New Jersey, right?
Oh man, it's Jersey's different. I didn't really get into fishing when I don't know. I should have. I mean, I still haven't caught a striped bass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now looking back into it, I guess some good places there I could have fished down Jersey Shore area.
Yeah.
Or even Montauk up there up north.
Yeah, Montauk and all that's pretty cool. And then, you know, on across the way, like south down into Delaware and all that, there's some real neat stuff down there too. And the Tautog and all them, they're kind of similar to a sheephead.
A sheephead,
I didn't get to catch them up there. I got to caught some sea robin and some fluke and then some
Striper. You went to Connecticut, right?
I caught some smaller striper, like 24, 25-inch ones. But I had my heart broken, dude, by some giants.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I hooked one on it's called the Dock. It's like a 9-inch freaking topwater spook. It's 9 inches, like for real. It was a beast to work it, but I was working that around some rock or some grass or some current, and now he just came up there.
Oh my God.
And I fought him, he pulled me in the rocks and got me wrapped around and boom, broke me off. I have a 50-pound braid and 50-pound leader.
And it broke you off.
It broke me off.
That's a monster.
It was probably upper 30s, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably upper 30s, close to 40 inches. A couple of the guys that caught some, they went and fished the discharge area. There's a power plant that has a discharge there where we were at. And I was throwing what they call a, what is that one? Albie Snacks. It's a little pink, looks like a mirror lure Little John, but it's a bigger version. You fish it on a 6-aught hook and you just burn it like the same thing. Burn it and tweak, burn. And I have one there coming, and it's soft plastic too, but I have one there coming, smoke it too, and it was probably mid 30s or so. But there's a guy that caught like a 48 incher right like not even 50 yards away from where I was at.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, holy cow, man, I just want to get one of a hero shot with one of those. I didn't even care. I just wanted to get a picture with one, you know.
Yeah.
With the rocks in the background. It was really cool. The fluking was cool. You caught the fluke. You know, that was pretty neat. It's their, you know, their flounder. Their eyes are situated a different way. You know, it's kind of weird. And then the sea robins were pretty cool looking little fish. And then there was black sea bass and all that stuff.
So,
it was a pretty neat fishery there in the Long Island Sound out of Niantic.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty cool. And then there are some bass, some lakes around that you could access. The bass, I mean, there weren't giants, but you know, 17.5-inch fish. You know, probably 30 one afternoon just when I got, it was a little too windy in the sound, so I just got off the water, went and had some lunch, and then I went and found one of them little lakes. You know, it's probably like 80 acres or so. Found one of those and went through a wacky rig, you know, Cinco, and crushed them. Had a good time, you know, just something different, you know, to break it up. You know, it's pretty cool. I like that area up there too, but you know, it's like South Carolina. I do miss Georgia. I need to get back over. I need to actually fish when I'm over there. I freshwater fish when I'm over there. My sister lives on a lives on a really cool golf course with some ponds you're not really supposed to fish, but I've caught multiple 10-pound plus bass out of those lakes out there.
Oh yeah, those bass are hungry. Yeah, they're not used to
they're not used to the big baits I'm throwing at them. They see like big old glide bait come at them, they're gonna eat it.
I was
looking at some areas over that way. We're planning to fish Keaton Beach.
Right,
it's kind of north of Tampa, quite a ways north of Steinhatchee and all that good stuff. But
okay,
man, I've read some great articles on that area, and I've looked at it on maps and kind of talked to some people, and it's like, man, kind of March is like setting up there. It's like a good time to target like trophy trout on the Gulf Coast side of Florida. There, it's like one of the, I don't know if it's like a secret or something, because I don't know how many people know about it.
Secret's out the back now.
But it's a good ways from everything. You know, it's a haul to get there. You know, it'd be 3 hours plus, you know, almost from Tampa, I believe, 3 hours or so. But it's on the way to we're going up towards St. Mark's. So I figured, you know, we're gonna fish it when we're over there. I'm gonna be over there. You know, like I said, with Jackson, we're gonna be with Jameson Redding. He's our brand manager of fishing for Jackson, and you know, he has a show called Road Trip Angler. I was glad to be part of that on one of the episodes last season, and then we filmed again in Texas a couple months back, and we'll have another episode this year, another Texas episode this year. Should be pretty neat. And now we're going to Florida. I'm gonna be part of the Florida one. I don't know how much camera time I'm gonna get with my ugly mug on there, but I'm hoping we get a little bit of good weather to cooperate, and then the fish to cooperate. We got some stuff we're gonna fish with Miss Jean Wilson while we're over there. Big old spring fed river bass, hopefully, and then just have some good old times, man. I'm thinking it's gonna be a good trip. Hopefully I'm getting to meet you in person, man. Hopefully we'll make it work. We'll fish one afternoon, go grab some dinner or something. And
absolutely, yeah.
We'll be there at those fun tour stops on Saturday, and then we'll be excited to get off on the water that evening too. And then and Sunday, you know, we're gonna film again on Sunday the 19th. So we're gonna be out and about looking around and exploring the area too, and trying to get some intel. I know one of the kayak clubs is supposed to come out with us to that Mobley Bayou Beach Park with Kayak Club. I'm not sure which club it is, but I know one of the kayak clubs are supposed to come and hang out and like shoot the bull with us and everything too, you know. So I think it's gonna be pretty neat. So I'm excited about getting over there and making a safe drive over there, and then we're staying right there in Port Richey. We got the house booked already. We're ready to go. So I'm coming over there. I'll be there on the 16th.
Yeah.
Be ready to fish.
Yeah, sounds like you're gonna be tired, dude. By the time you get back home, you're like,
I'm gonna be tired. Then I'm gonna go straight to I have a friend's band coming through Texas, and we're gonna go see him up in Austin on the 23rd. Evening of the 23rd. So, yeah, I'll be driving back on the 22nd. You know, I'll be good, it'd be good. I'm excited that I'm fortunate, you know, I'm allowed to go do this. You know, my job allows me to have this time off and stuff, because I know I worked the whole month of April. I got an outage in April, so I'm trying to pick and choose a couple days that month there in some tournaments. But we're definitely a little bit ahead of our warming trend here in Texas. I don't know how y'all are, if y'all are the same in Florida.
It's warm here all year round. I put on a vest one morning, but then by 9-10 o'clock I'm like just ripping layers off. This really water temps right now, like 79 degrees went out.
Oh yeah, ours is like 71. It's pretty cool, you know. It's still kind of cool, but it's good to go. I'm putting your Insta right here.
All right.
You got it on the screen there too, but I'm gonna put it on the little banner.
Appreciate that.
And then run that real quick, and then we're gonna kind of start wrapping it up here. I don't want to get too much more in depth because we got to save for another one. You know, I like to have repeat offenders on. Like I said, repeat offender.
That's good. I like it, man. It's appreciate you having me again.
Oh yeah. So there you go. Y'all see him? He's got it on his name there too. But y'all follow Gerald on Insta. at g.one. Yeah, y'all make sure y'all follow him, and you know, go check out all his adventures too. He's getting lined out down there in Gulf Coast of Florida, getting the fishing figured out and everything. And it,
yeah, for anyone wanna, you know, follow the struggle, the grind, and hopefully one day I get to figure out the fishery here. But you know, like I said, it's a process. But actually, this coming up April 1st, I'll be doing my first tournament. You know, I mean, really no high hopes, but like anything, you got to start somewhere.
Yep,
you know,
got to start somewhere and grind it out, and that's how you learn right there.
Yeah,
that's how you learn.
Absolutely. Sure. And the main thing is, you know, like one thing I miss is the camaraderie. That's one thing I forgot to mention down in South Carolina. Left all my boys over there, you know, it's, you know, but hopefully to make new friends here, which, you know, since I moved here, I already met a couple good people, you know, with the same, you know, we all common interests. A lot of cool people here, and actually people that I've met through social media before I even moved here.
Yeah.
And now I consider them, you know, my brothers.
Was Heath is over there, right? From Yakima?
Yeah. Funny enough, you mentioned that.
I need to get with him too.
I haven't fished with Heath. Man, that guy is so busy. He's always doing something.
Yeah.
But one day at a gas station, I was just pumping gas, and I look at his car. He got Yak Tribe all over his van. I'm like, who is this dude?
I mean,
he probably is like, man, he's like one of the Yak Tribe. But look, you know, I looked at him like, man, he's Heath. So that was the first time I met him. Like, yo, what's up, Heath? He was like, it took him like a couple seconds to recognize who I was. Like, I knew you moved here. Like, what's up, G? So, yeah, we haven't had a chance to fish yet, but, you know, we're going to try to make that happen.
Make it happen, yep, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's down there in St. Petersburg, cool fishery. I got a couple people here that actually helped me through the process when I moved. Yeah, and, my buddy Scott, that's actually happened to have, he used to live in South Carolina. He used to live there in Myrtle Beach, but he's a local here in St. Pete's.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, actually, that time when I was moving here, him and his family happened to be in Myrtle Beach and with his kayaks, and he offered to bring my kayak with him ahead, you know, and move down here so I don't have to worry about, you know, putting it on the U-Haul and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he transported my two of my kayaks from Myrtle Beach to here.
Dang, that's pretty cool.
He came here and helped me unload the U-Haul. One of my best friends lives here, about two towns away from me. Came down here and helped me unload the U-Haul. And like I said, it's social media is just I know a lot of people saying it's a waste of time, but man, it's just the way you use it, you know.
Yep,
it's,
exactly.
Go out there and meet people and, you know, like-minded people, and you all have to share the same passion, and man, we're all just, you know, here to enjoy.
Use it to connect is another great way. I mean, I've made quite a few connections through social media and actually through the podcast too, you know.
Right.
So that's actually pretty neat, you know. It's a pretty cool way to look at things too, you know.
I know. Yeah, it's just it's the way you use it, you know. Use it for good and just don't get too caught up into it, you know, just balance, you know.
Balance. Yeah. Yep. That's the key word right there. Yeah. Balance. Yeah. Especially absolutely. You got a family. Yep.
Yeah. That's what it's all about, you know.
Dude, right on. Anything else? Anything else coming up or anybody else you want to shout out to? Go ahead.
I don't really have any sponsors or anything like that, but I just want to mention I have here on the side Knock Around. Knock Around Shades. These people been good. That's what I use for polarized lens, you know, shades to go out there. I get a notification I got new shades in the mail. Like man, these people take care.
Cool.
I know, man. They take care of me. you know, I figure out, you know.
Promote them, throw them out there. Yeah, y'all come check them out. Knock Around. Yeah. Is that knockaround.com? Is that the website?
I believe so, yeah. If you just search, knockaround.com. That's right. Knockaround.com.
Get up in there.
Yeah,
all the, check them out.
Yeah, all the custom, always made custom custom designs, you know, limited editions. But yeah, this one of the companies I've been working with for a couple of years now, really good people. Yeah. So while I'm here, I want to shout out to my buddy, John, Faith and Fishing. So if any of you guys into sheephead fishing, man, John.
Oh, his jig heads.
Yeah. No, he's not. No. Yeah, no, no, he's not. He hasn't got into that yet, man. But this guy, he's really, that's his main thing, is sheephead fishing. So him and my buddy Todd, the kayak warrior, those two guys, you need, you know, maybe one day look him up there.
I'll get him on the show. We need to have somebody talk about the sheephead fishing, you know.
Oh, man, these guys, man, they're like, that's their thing. Yeah, they fish St. Pete's Pier. Man, these guys go way out there. I mean, wherever this sheephead, I'm sure they fish that area. So
that's cool. We'll have to get them on there, like tag team, and get both of them on and talk about it and talk about the sheephead fishing in the area and all that. I'm gonna have to reach out to them.
I'm sure they would love that, man. They're really active on making content. Yeah, they got YouTube channels.
Oh, cool deal.
Yep. John, Faith and Fishing, and Todd, Kayak Warrior. So
Kayak Warrior. Yeah. All right. I've heard that name before. So
yeah, it's a veteran. Yep.
Yep. Right on. Good. Dude, I appreciate you coming on, brother. Yeah. You know, it's always good to get with you on here, and then we gonna get together when I'm over there. We gonna see if we can't get me a snook.
We're gonna make it happen. That's my goal. Put you on a snook, man. Just get there that skipping. Yeah, just get that skipping. I mean, I'm sure that's no stranger to you. I mean,
being bass fishing too, you know, fishing in bass events. Yeah, I'm skipping them up under there and stuff. So
just get that thing under the mangrove and just wait for that explosion, man. Just pull them right out of there.
That'll be neat, man, with that backdrop and everything. Get some good pictures.
Oh yeah.
Get some good content out of it. Yeah. You know how we roll. We like getting them pictures set us up. You gotta set yourself apart from the rest of them.
Oh yeah, you know me, man. One day I forgot my action hat. I almost didn't want to go fishing. Like, man, how am I gonna film that?
I know, right?
I've been using action hat so I get
that point of view, you know.
I know, man. I want to get the eats. That's what I'm trying to get.
You want to get them eats? When you can get that, that makes it even better.
Well, dude, I
appreciate you. You know, I appreciate everybody listening. You know, thanks again to Watering Rods, Beck and Mass and Coastal Bend, for being supporters of the show, you know. And shout out to the Paladin and Fin crew to let me continue this diving into these episodes here and allow me to be part of the team. You know, it's been a good run. I think this is my fourth season.
Wow.
It might be fourth. I don't know. Yeah. It's been a while. It's been a little while already.
I want to thank Pat and Finn and you, Dustin, for, like I said, when I moved here, as far as work, you know, it was kind of, not a struggle, but, you know, quite a hard time getting situated, you know. The initial plan didn't quite work out, you know, as far as because the location, I think it wasn't as close as I thought it was going to be, my original plan. But so I tried everything, you know. I got probably my third job since I moved here. But all those times, man, I needed something to keep me occupied at work from, you know, getting bored. But man, those podcasts, I put it on my ear.
Put the podcast, there you go.
I binge watch, listen to all the podcasts, man. All the Paddle and Finn. I just put it on, had on the continuous play, like, oh man.
Yep. Paddle and Finn, we got a lot of good episodes, you know. You listen to Chris Bush over at Speckled Truth. He's always got good stuff going on.
Oh yeah.
Eastern Current. out of North Carolina.
Judd's
got some good stuff. I've been lucky enough to be on one of his shows before.
Judd's
a good dude, man. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of good stuff out there, you know. A lot of good stuff out there. But without everybody that listens to these, this wouldn't be possible at all. And thank y'all for tuning in and hearing me ramble and talk the paint off the walls, as I say.
That's good stuff, man.
Hope we bring something to everybody that you can learn from.
That's right.
You know, if y'all ever have any question or anything, comment, post, send an email, Pal and Finn on their page. Shoot us some ideas, or you want any specific techniques or tips or everything, let us know. We'll be more than happy to talk about them. Or if you want to come on and be a guest, let me know. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Wherever you're at, coastal-wise, you know, like I said, I need to get some of them California guys on that go out and target those lean cod and those cabezones out there. There's a couple guys. Greg Blanchard had a buddy that went out, and they got film of a great white that was like 13 foot circling them. So I was like, man, it'd be cool to reach out to that guy and kind of get him on the show.
There's
a couple of YouTubers I'd like to get on the show. I mean, I know, you know, everybody has their say about YouTubers, but, you know, I even have my own opinion at times. But most of them are pretty cool, you know.
It's like I said, it's a balance, you know. It's can't go overboard on one thing, but.
Yeah, well, cool deal, man. Well, hang around real quick. I'm going to run this closer.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to close up the show here. Hang on one second.
All right.
Thank you all, everybody, for tuning in to Chasing the Tide.